The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch our live shows every Tuesday and Thursday at approximately 3 p.m. Central Time. You can watch on my Twitter or Periscope. That's at RJ Ochoa. You can also watch along live on the Blog and the Boys Facebook live feed. Those are Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can listen to podcast-only versions of the show on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We do podcast the live shows as well, so there is at least one podcast in your Blog and the Boys podcast feed every day. Speaking of, you should subscribe to the Blog and the Boys podcast feed. It is available on all major podcast platforms. Simply search for Blog and the Boys, and there you will get access to all of our different shows over at BTB, SB Nation's home for Cowboys content. We have a variety of shows. We have some good times. We have some interesting times, and we want you to be a part of them. It is Hump Day. Happy Hump Day. Wednesday, March 27th, 2019 is when we are recording this particular installment of Ocho Live. And I just want to say, I hope you're having a great day. I hope that you are having a fantastic 24-hour period, whatever's going on in your life. I hope it is exactly what you want it to be and nothing less. That's what you deserve. It's a Wednesday, which means Survivor's on. I'm very excited about that. But it is a Wednesday in the off season because it is a day. That means the Dallas Cowboys news is running amok. So the big thing to come out of Wednesday in terms of Cowboys news isn't really news. It's old news, but it is still new nonetheless. Calvin Watkins of The Athletic had a great write-up on Wednesday about the DeMarcus Lawrence situation with the Cowboys. Apparently, shocker here, the Cowboys were a little bit low when it came to their offer for a long-term contract for DeMarcus Lawrence, or to DeMarcus Lawrence, I should say. And apparently, you know, D-Law's camp and D-Law's agent, they didn't like that. The Cowboys came to a point where they thought everything was kosher, and that was not the case. And so this is a battle of negotiations. This is a battle of we ask for some, you offer some. We ask for more, you offer a little bit more, etc. Is it good that this contractual battle is playing out in front of the world? No, I mean, that isn't good, objectively. Is it terrible? No, it's not. This is business. Unfortunately, this is the way that things roll. Our own Danny Phantom had a great write-up about this over at BTB, if you want to head over to bloggingtheboys.com and get caught up. And Dan brought up something really interesting. You know, this feels like, and you might agree with this, you might not, but this feels bigger than any contractual dispute the Cowboys have had in recent memory. For some reason, the DeMarcus Lawrence thing looms a little larger, and maybe it's the fact that he was franchise tagged 2 years in a row, and that kind of adds to the whole situation. For whatever reason, it does kind of have that vibe. However, I mean, when was the last time we saw the Cowboys in any sort of contractual dispute, whether, you know, totally peaceful or with some confrontation involved? And confrontation's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean there's bad blood between the team and the player. When was the last time we saw that resolved quickly? I mean, you know, in recent memory, I can't believe it's been 4 years, but the Dez Bryant franchise tag situation went all the way to the deadline, did it not? It went all the way till mid-July. You know, something that I thought was interesting that Dan brought up was when Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick got their deals, we all thought, okay, you know, this makes sense, especially because Travis Frederick got his at the exact same time that Tyron Smith did. Obviously, you know, both players got their long-term contract entering their fourth season, which is, you know, when you can start negotiating with guys. And so we thought that that was going to happen with Zach Martin, right? After 2014, 15, and 16, we all thought going into training camp in 2017, this is when Zach Martin's going to get his deal, because that was exactly when Travis Frederick got his. That was exactly when DeMarcus Lawrence got his. So of course, Tyron Smith. Again, we go one take only on Ocho Live. We don't mess around because, you know, it is live. Obviously, some episodes are podcasts only. You get the picture. Anyway, Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick both got their contracts, their long-term contracts, entering their fourth season. So we all thought that would be the case with Zach Martin in 2017. That did not happen. And a lot of people were a little bit put off by that. A lot of people were really scared. Zach Martin played the entire 2017 season still on his rookie deal. And in fact, we all, this time a year ago, while DeMarcus Lawrence was a situation that still needed to be addressed then, we all thought, okay, the Cowboys got to get Zach Martin locked up long term. That's got to happen. That's really important. Let's get it done. That did not happen until June of last year. And it feels like it happened forever ago. And sometimes it can feel that way. But that was only June of 2018. That was June of his fifth season. And so I think that that says a lot. And that says, at the very least, that the Cowboys nor contracts in the NFL as a whole are predictable or can be calculated or can be measured or can be regulated or can be anything. Each one is unique, as lame and as cliche as that sounds. And you have to treat it as such. And it feels like that's what we're dealing with this DeMarcus Lawrence situation. Now, there are a lot of hindsight truthers, a lot of people who are saying, well, you see what happens when you franchise tag D-Law. If you had just given him the long-term contract a year ago, you know, we wouldn't be having to have this issue. He would be under contract for less, $17 million a year, whatever, because the discussions are about $20, $22.5 million per year. Would it be better to have paid DeMarcus Lawrence $17 million a season versus 20 or 22 and a half? Duh. Nobody disagrees with that. However, there was legitimate logic to franchise tagging him a year ago. I mean, if you rewind, all that we knew about DeMarcus Lawrence entering 2018 was that he had had a stellar 2017 season. He had had a great, you know, 2015 season opposite of Greg Hardy, but that was it. We also knew that he had a suspension issue. We also knew that he had injury issues. So there was legitimate and justified trepidation regarding DeMarcus Lawrence. The Cowboys, you know, they put a bluff up, and DeMarcus Lawrence called them on it. Good for him. I mean, that's really all this boils down to, is the Cowboys challenged him by virtue of the franchise tag, said, look, man, we're not sure. We don't know what this is. We don't know if we buy it, whatever. And that was fair. You know, go prove it. And to DeMarcus Lawrence's credit, to only his credit, all the credit in the world goes to him. He did it. And now you're between a rock and a hard place. And so the Cowboys have to figure this out. But I don't think that anybody should be freaking out because it's not being done in March. Because again, the Zach Martin situation drew to June a year ago. The Dez Bryant situation drew to July 4 years ago. This is just the way business gets done in the NFL. Now, obviously, there's the detail of DeMarcus Lawrence's lingering surgery, pending surgery, and that does complicate matters a little bit. But for whatever reason, I'm not panicked over this. I really am not. I'm not freaking out that the Cowboys aren't going to get this done with DeMarcus Lawrence. I feel confident that they're trending in the right direction with this. I feel confident that they have some flexibility from a salary cap perspective, especially based on the free agents that they signed. So I'm not sweating this at all, personally. That's my own personal opinion. But I do think it's interesting. And if you're a Dak Prescott supporter, obviously this doesn't pertain to you. But this argument that, well, if we had just paid DeMarcus Lawrence a year ago, we wouldn't be in this situation right now. That is a really ironic thing to hear from people who do not want to pay Dak Prescott. And I don't mean to turn this into a Dak needs to get paid diatribe, because we're not at all near that. Although it would not be shocking to see Dak get his extension this offseason. In fact, I would expect it. I mean, that kind of feels logical, certainly from what we've heard from the Cowboys. But that's the same exact logic. I mean, I do think that hindsight plays a role in the D-Law situation, because we know that he was a beast in 2018. The same logic applies to Dak. If you wait to pay him, you're going to have to pay him more. That's the way business works. That's the same argument you're making with DeMarcus Lawrence. And so it makes sense to get Dak Prescott's contract done. It was reported on Wednesday morning that the Philadelphia Eagles are looking to get Carson Wentz locked up long term. Good for them. Good for us. But I think that Dak Prescott and that situation are identical in terms of the philosophy behind it. And so if you are anti-paying Dak, you need to accept that that dude is going to get paid. And the sooner it happens, the better. I think I even wrote something about this a few weeks ago over at BTB. But, you know, it is what it is. Moving on, Tuesday evening brought forth some news across the NFL, and obviously it affects the entire league regarding pass interference in terms of things that are challengeable. Obviously, offensive and defensive pass interference can now be challenged, can now be reviewed. There's all sorts of, you know, small, funny details about 28 minutes and whatnot. But the gist of the situation is that this change is being made in order to avoid what happened in the NFC Championship against the New Orleans Saints. And you know what? That's a good thing. I will say that I am not a fan of, and it's not that I don't like this rule change, but I'm not a fan of, you know, reactive moves. I'm not a fan of, you know, because this happened, we have to react. Because this rule change is a direct reaction and a direct reflection off of what we saw happen to the Saints. And while the change may be just and the change may be overdue and the change may be necessary, you can certainly make that argument to me. I do not like that it's happening specifically because we saw it with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. Now, again, it did affect the team going to the Super Bowl, and that's why it's a big deal. But what it reminds me of, you know, there's a lot of discussion about overtime in the NFL. And it reminds me, coincidentally, of a different game involving the Saints, the 2009 NFC Championship game, when they won against the Minnesota Vikings and Brett Favre's team. And that was when overtime changed. It was after that game that the NFL, you know, owners went into a room and said, man, we can't have this. We can't have teams not touch the ball. We got to change it. And that was when overtime changed to what we know it to be now, 10 years later. And so I'm not a fan of direct reaction like that. I'm a fan of more proactive moves. You know, something for example, like every turnover being subject to review without having to be challenged. That's a great proactive decision. I'm a big fan of that. I'm not a fan of, you know, cause and effect rule changes. And that's kind of where we're at with this particular change. Now, will this affect the Cowboys? Who knows, man? I mean, it could affect the Cowboys the same way it could affect any other NFL team. But now we're on the cusp of the overtime rules, to get back on my soapbox a little bit, being changed again. Why? Specifically because of what we saw in the AFC Championship game. You know, nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, but the, you know, outcry for overtime, you know, needing to be changed was a lot less prior to Pat Mahomes not touching the ball in overtime against the New England Patriots. That's just my two cents on it. I'm not a fan of, you know, cause, effect, boom. I'm a fan of, hey, man, let's look at this. Let's look at data. Let's look at everything objectively. What could be better? And I think that that's how I like to do things, at least in my life. So I do find, find that just a whatever. But I'm a fan of the change. I know that sounds contradictory, given everything I just said. I think it's interesting, especially that coaches still have the same number of challenges. That certainly makes the whole thing a little bit more complicated. It will be fascinating because I think we all can agree that at some point a coach is going to challenge that there was a pass interference on a Hail Mary type play near the end of the game. He's going to pick it out, get his ball on the 1 yard line, and his team's going to win the game. And then that Monday morning, everybody's going to be talking about how this rule was a mistake. You can almost sense it coming from a mile away. So that's that. I will say, not related to the Cowboys, but I heard something fascinating. I believe it was on the Around the NFL podcast, which is my personal favorite podcast, that the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, has not won a challenge in 2 years. That is amazing. I can't verify that myself, but assuming that's true, that is absurd. And so, you know, when you consider the track record of some coaches when it comes to challenges, I mean, who knows if this really will play that large of a role. That's just kind of how things tend to work out. But other Cowboys news really has kind of slowed here in the third week of free agency. DeMarcus Lawrence is kind of dominating all of the headlines. It is worth pointing out, I think, that Taco Charlton has been a bit active on social media as of late. This is something that Tony Casillas and I talked about on the 750. Going off of Twitter and Instagram and all sorts of social media posts, he's been working out with Malik Collins and Rashawn Gary, his fellow Michigan Wolverine, and Bradley Chubb, last year's rookie sensation for the Denver Broncos. So Good for Taco, because all of this discussion and everything concerning the Cowboys' state of their pass rush and defensive end group, is going to need him. I mean, Taco is going to be a very critical member of the 2019 Dallas Cowboys, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not. I know everybody has their thoughts and their opinions when it comes to the 2017 first-round draft pick for the Cowboys, but he is going to be essential, I mean, to what they want to do. Whether DeMarcus Lawrence is there, happy or disgruntled or whatever, with Randy Gregory suspended indefinitely as of now, with Tyrone Crawford at the very least under investigation from the NFL, Taco will be vital, I mean, to put it bluntly. So that about does it for Wednesday's episode of Ocho Live. A few minor things, non-Cowboys related things. I did a podcast with ESPN San Antonio. James Pledger and I, my Saturday morning hangover co-host, went and talked to Jayrone Elliott, San Antonio Commanders linebacker. We went and talked to him at practice, got some good stuff from him. So that's available. It's on my Twitter feed if you need the link. He's a cool guy. Certainly was associated with the Cowboys there. Had a cup of coffee. He's a great guy, great member of the Commander, so that's a lot of fun. Thursday, we will have a live show, Live Ocho Live, so make sure you tune in for that. We'll probably have a new episode of the 750 as well. And if you are a San Antonio local, or even if you're not, this Friday, I'll be filling in on the Blitz on ESPNSA. It'll be me and Rob Thompson. Robbie T and I will be out live at Slackers, the North Star location. That is actually the same location where I won Rock the Mic, so it's got some good memories for me. If you're not local, you can always listen at ESPNSA.com. So that about does it for Wednesday. Enjoy Survivor, because I know you watch it, because you're a good person. Enjoy your dinner, enjoy your breakfast on Thursday, and have the best Wednesday and the best Thursday of your life. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.